Richard and Dore were sitting on the floor, in a room in the British Museum, staring up at a carved painting of an angel on a cathedral door. The room was dark and empty. The party had been over for a long time. The sky outside was beginning to lighten. Richard stood up, then leaned down and helped Dore up. "Blackfriars?" he asked. Dore nodded. Richard had crossed Blackfriars Bridge in the City of London many times, and he had often passed through Blackfriars Station. But he was learning by now not to assume anything. "Place or people?" he asked. "People." Richard walked over to the Angelus. He ran a finger down its painted robe. "Do you think he can really do it? Get me my life back?" "I've never heard of such a thing. But I don't think he would have lied to us. He is an angel." Dore opened her hand, looked at the statue of the beast. "My father had one of these," she said, sadly. She put it deep in one of the pockets of her brown leather jacket. "Well," said Richard, "we're not going to get the key back lollygagging around here, are we?" They walked through the empty museum corridors. "So, what do you know about this key, then?" asked Richard. "Nothing," said Dore. They had reached the main doors of the museum. "I've heard of the Blackfriars, but I've never actually had anything to do with them." She pressed her fingers against a seriously locked glass door, which swung open at her touch. "A bunch of monks," said Richard, thoughtfully. "I bet if we just tell them it's for an angel, a real one, they'll give us the sacred key and throw in the magic tin opener and the amazing whistling corkscrew as a surprise bonus." He began to laugh. He wondered if the wine was still affecting him. "You're in good spirits," said Dore. He nodded enthusiastically. "I'm going to go home. Everything is going to be normal again. Boring again. Wonderful again." Richard looked at the stone steps that lead up to the British Museum and decided that they were made to be danced down by Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, and seeing that neither of them happened to be available, he began to dance down the steps, doing what he fondly imagined was an amazing Fred Astaire impersonation, while humming something approximately halfway between "Puttin' on the Ritz" and "Top Hat, White Tie and Tails." "Yat-ta-da, da-ta-da, ta-ta-da-ya," he sang, soft-shoeing down the steps and up again. Dore stood at the top of the steps, staring at him in horror. Then she began to giggle, helplessly. He looked up at her and doffed his imaginary white silk top hat to her, mimed tossing it high in the air, catching it and putting it back on his head. "Twit," said Dore, and smiled at him. In response, Richard grabbed her hand and continued dancing up and down the steps. Dore hesitated for a moment, then she, too, began to dance. She danced much better than Richard did. At the bottom of the steps, they tumbled, breathless and exhausted and giggling, into each other's arms. Richard felt his world spin. He felt her heart beating against his chest. The moment began to transmute, and he wondered if there was something he should do. He wondered if he should kiss her. He wondered if he wanted to kiss her, and he realized that he truly did not know. He looked into her opal-colored eyes. Dore put her head on one side and pulled free. She pulled up the collar on her brown leather jacket, pulled it around her, armor and protection. "Let's go and find our bodyguard," said Dore. And they walked away together down the sidewalk towards British Museum Station, stumbling only a little from time to time.